I saw a commercial, and some of you may know this commercial when I start talking about it. And I'm not going to get it exactly the way that they presented the commercial, but I think it's close enough for you to have an idea of what I'm talking about. So they show a man, and he purchases a baseball glove. And they say, baseball glove, $25. Then you show him, and he's gone out, and he buys a ball cap and a jersey. And they say, ball cap and jersey, $75. And then he goes out, and you see he purchases some tickets. And they say, tickets, $150. And then they show a father and a son. And the son has the ball cap on, he has jersey on, he's got the glove in his hand, and they're at a baseball game. And their faces are all excited and elated, and you can see they are truly enjoying themselves. And they say, priceless. And the brand is MasterCard. And it says, there's some things that money can buy, but for other things, there's MasterCard, being that priceless thing. And so, when Adam fell in the garden, God made a sacrifice and created a covering for his sin. One sacrifice, one man. And then, when the children of Israel, were in Egyptian bondage, God delivered them. And it wasn't because of anything that Moses had said, but it was one sacrifice for a family. And God told Moses to tell the children of Israel, when I see the blood, I will pass over. So we have one sacrifice, one man, one sacrifice, one family. And then the high priest used to go into the temple once a year. And they would take a sacrifice. And they would make an offering. And that was one sacrifice for the nation. So we started with one sacrifice for one man, one sacrifice for one family, one sacrifice for the nation. And it's because of the grace that God showed. The sacrifice in itself, it was the blood of that sacrifice that bought redemption. It was the blood of that sacrifice that brought grace. It was that blood of that sacrifice that pushed man's sins back another year. But one day, in John 1 and 29, it says that John looked up and he saw Jesus walking by. And he said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. One sacrifice for the entirety of the world. Priceless. You know, we put on, well, let me back up just a minute. The sacrifices for one man, one family, one nation, these were all just a foreshadow of the things that were going to come. These were a foreshadow that were leading up to the point to where the priceless sacrifice came, who is Jesus Christ. And so when John seen him, He let everybody know, this is the Lamb of God. This is the blood that is priceless. This is the blood that is going to be shed that's going to take away the sin of all the world. And see, Jesus was that perfect sacrifice. He was perfect in his physical body. He was perfect in his character. He was perfect in his spirit. He was perfect in his life. He was perfect in keeping the law. And above all, he was the perfect sacrifice. Because, you know, up until that time when someone would bring their sacrifice, would bring their offering to be sacrificed, well, it had to be examined. And it had to be looked over to make sure that there wasn't one spot, not one blemish. Because if the high priest opened it up and said, ooh, there's a blemish there, well, now you got to take it back and you got to get something else. But here, the one sacrifice that we have to put our faith in, that one sacrifice is without a spot or a blemish or any such thing. You know, and it's not, I don't want to say it's not that difficult, it's not that hard, but sometimes faith is hard. But the fact of the matter is, we didn't have to go out and hunt for a sacrifice. We didn't have to go out and try and buy a sacrifice. You know, because if you look at the way that our world's economy is set up, if you have money, you can buy something. And one of the things I thought about as I was going through this message and, you know, well, I'm getting ready to get ahead of myself. Let me go back here. Let's look at 1 Peter. See, one of the things that the blood of Jesus did is that it quenched every altar fire that was on the face of this earth. Because once he laid down his life, once he made that ultimate sacrifice, there were no more need for a sacrifice for an altar any place. Because he had fulfilled the sacrifice. But here in 1 Peter chapter 1, starting with verse 18, it says, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversations received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in you. Now, this tells us that we were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold. And you know, there's no denying that silver and gold does not buy things. Silver and gold will buy us a lot of things. And this is where I was thinking about Elon Musk, the wealthiest man in the world. He can buy whatever he wants, at any time he wants, and how many of them that he wants, and he's good. But what he can't buy is salvation. What he can't buy is redemption. What he can't buy is grace. Now, let me just say, I'm not picking on him. He just happens to be the richest man in the world. And if the richest man in the world's name was Jack Trooper, well, I would have used his name. I'm looking at the money aspect. Because we know how we are. Oh, please. We get a little bit of money in our pocket. And we're going to get whatever it is that we have wanted. The sad part is a lot of times, we go get whatever it is that we have wanted, and we don't even acknowledge God about it. But the thing is, whatever that is, it's temporal. It's going to pass away. But we want redeemed with corruptible things. We want redeemed with what man seems to call precious in their sight or worthy. But we were redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, which is priceless. There is nothing that can stand up to the shed blood of Jesus. There is nothing that can wash away man's sin except for the blood of Jesus. There is nothing that we can go to in order to get salvation, in order to get redemption, in order to get grace, except for at the foot of the cross where the shed blood is. And his shed blood is priceless. Now, the word priceless means so valuable that it cannot be measured in money or replaced by money. And see, that's what I was saying. Yeah, we got money. There's a lot of people in the world that have money. But what they have cannot replace the shed blood of Jesus Christ. You know, I used to say all the time, and I'll just start saying it again now. I know my husband loves me. There is no doubt. I know if push came to shove, my husband would lay down his life for me. Because he'd be telling me, baby, run. I got this. But I also know that as much as he loves me, as much as he would lay down his life for me, his life, his blood, cannot provide me with the salvation that I need that's going to carry me over into eternity. And so it doesn't matter what we look at in the natural. It is only the blood of Jesus that is priceless, that is so valuable that it cannot be measured, that it has not only has it washed away the sins from the first man that has come to him in faith, but will wash away every sin from every man, every woman, every child that comes to him throughout our lifetime, as long as we place our faith in his shed blood, as long as we look and accept the sacrifice that he paid on Calvary's cross. Now, Peter likes to remind us here that we weren't redeemed, we weren't delivered by man, because, you know, we were in bondage. Satan had mankind enslaved when Adam fell in the garden. And so it didn't matter as to, oh, well, I didn't bite the apple. I didn't bite the piece of fruit. It's the fact that we were in his loins when he fell. And because when he fell, all of mankind fell. And that being the case, all of us were in bondage and we needed to be redeemed. And you know, we've had some men, you can look throughout history, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, Noah, but all of them fell. All of them came short. All the bulls, all the goats, all the turtle doves, all the pigeons, all the sheep, all that blood that was shed, all of that fell short. But it wasn't until the priceless blood of Jesus was shed. And it says, for as much as you know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversations received by tradition from your fathers. That vain conversation is just talk. It's just chatter. You know, it's when we get caught up in religion. We get caught up in doctrine. You know, we get a set of rules that, or we get a set of commandments of our own that we set up. You know, we get some of those fence laws and invite them into our lives. That's what this vain conversation is. Because see, no religion, no doctrine, doesn't matter how many times they set up the chairs in the front of the church and they invite you to come down and, you know, you go down and you shake the pastor's hand. That does not save you. If you do not confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that the Lord Jesus came, shed his blood, gave up his life for you, then it doesn't matter how many handshakes you make, you are not saved. And then there's a process that comes afterwards, which is a sanctification process, where a change is being made in our lives. But we have to allow this process to take place. We have to accept and, what's the word I'm looking for? Accept the price that was paid. Accept the gift that has been given to us. Verse 19 says, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. And as I said, there's no other blood that can be, will be, has been shed that can do what the blood of Jesus has done for all of mankind. That there is no other blood. That there is no way around it. You know, we as men, sometimes we like to try and figure out a way to get around whatever it is that we need to get around. If we have an obstacle and it's right here, it's like, okay, if I move over to the right just a little bit and take three steps to the back and bend down, I think I got it. I think I can do it. But there is no way of getting around Jesus. There is no way of getting around the blood. There is no way of getting around the plan of salvation that God had set up. And see, and that's another thing. The plan of salvation that God set up, it wasn't an afterthought for him to send Jesus. Jesus was foreordained before the foundation of the earth, before the foundation of the world. And so before God spoke the stars in the sky and the moon and the sun, and he prepared this planet for us, and, you know, and he made the trees and the flowers and the birds and the fish and the water and the air. And I say it like that because that's what we know. You know, that's our world. That's what we know. And we'll go out, you know, if we're into astronomy, go out and look at the stars. We'll go out and we'll look at the planets. But long before any of that existed, God already had a plan. Before he created man, he knew man would fall. And so he knew he could not himself redeem mankind. So his son had to come, be born of a virgin, put on this flesh, walk this earth, do what we as mankind could not do ourselves. He did it for us, and become that sacrifice. So it wasn't an afterthought that Jesus came. This was from the beginning. So he knew that we needed a redeemer. So before the foundation of this earth, Jesus was already foreordained to come down and be that Paschal sacrifice, come down and be that lamb without a spot or a blemish, and redeem all of mankind, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in these last times for you. So he wasn't manifested for himself. He wasn't manifested because it was just a good thing. But he was manifested for me. He was manifested for you. He was manifested for you. But it's a matter of or not whether we are going to accept this sacrifice, whether we are going to accept his shed blood. You know, a lot of people don't like to talk about the blood. Well, they don't like to talk about the cross, which inflicted the blood. But without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sin. unless we have a perfect, unblemished, unspotted sacrifice, we have no remission of our sin. Now, I know we like to think, I'm not a sinner. Well, you just did because you lied. You know, it's so easy for us to look at ourselves in our best light. You know, nobody gets up in the morning and gets dressed and is going out of the house. They're going to work, to church, to a meeting. Nobody gets up, runs out of the house going, I want to look the worst that I could possibly look. But we get up, I mean, we're primping. You know, we making sure every hair is in place. Everything is working out for me here. And Lord, please, don't let us be wearing makeup. Ooh, girl, let me get this on. Got to get my eyes right, my cheeks up. We want to look our best. But in the eyes of God, the only way that we as believers can look our best is if we're covered in the blood of Jesus. Nothing else is going to do it. It doesn't matter how good we think we are, how many bottles of water we pass out on the corner, how many people we help feed the homeless and shelter. And it doesn't matter. If we are not covered in the blood, if we do not recognize the sacrifice that was paid for us on Calvary's cross, that's all God sees. You know, God sees two men on this earth when he looks down here. He sees the first Adam and he sees the last Adam. And we have to decide, although we may have been born in the first Adam, do we want to stay in the first Adam? Or do we want to move to the last Adam and get covered in the blood of Jesus? Because that's what God is looking at. He didn't just send his son so that we can just brush him off. He didn't just send his son so that, thank God, he does give us a free will so we can make a choice. But it's his heart's desire that we make the right choice. Through our life, if you look back, through our life, we have made wrong choice after wrong choice after wrong choice after wrong choice. How about this morning if we make the right choice? Let's choose to be covered in the shed blood of Jesus. Let's choose to allow that blood to wash our sins. You know, it's not just a pushback for a year like those other sacrifices did. But when we place our faith in him, when we allow his blood to wash our sins away, as the old 100 says, what can wash away your sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make you whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. It all comes down to the blood of Jesus. Whatever situation is arising in our life, the blood of Jesus is the answer. And all we have to do is bring it to the foot of the cross. You know, if we need a healing, bring it to the foot of the cross. If we need deliverance, bring it to the foot of the cross. If we need salvation, bring it to the foot of the cross. And as that blood washed down on Jesus, let it wash down on you. Cover me in the blood, Lord. That's my prayer. Lord, cover me in your blood. Wash me. Because I realize that I cannot wash myself. You know, and it's ironic that in the natural, if you got blood on your clothes, you're trying to run and rinse it out and get it out and make sure it doesn't stain. However, with God, we're already stained. And we need the blood to come and wash us. We need the blood to come and cleanse us. And it's because of that blood being priceless, because nothing else can take its place. We are made clean. We are made justified. You know, I sometimes ask myself, why is it that I just like to preach Jesus? I like to talk Jesus. I try and live Jesus. Because I have come to the point in my life that I realize there is nothing else but Jesus. Jesus in the morning, Jesus in the noonday, Jesus in the evening, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. You know, I find myself, I have somebody that is near and dear to my heart. I mean, near and dear to my heart. And I've watched them throughout the years chase different things. Running here for this blessing plan. Going over here because this person is so anointed. Going over here because, you know, black folks, we are God's people. You know, the black Hebrews. And just running, 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 running. And so whenever I get an opportunity to talk to them, and they'll talk about God. They'll talk about God all day. But they never talk about Jesus. They never mention his name. They never talk about the cross. They never talk about the sacrifice. They never talk about the shed blood. And so it breaks my heart because I think they want to serve Jesus. I don't want to say they want to do right because I don't want to say they're doing wrong. They just don't have all of the knowledge that they need. But I am constantly, constantly telling them about Jesus. If they say something, I pull it right back over to Jesus. They'll say something else, I pull it right back over to Jesus. And I said that, saints, because it is our responsibility as believers. We need to be sharing Jesus with the world. We need to be telling people about the fact that he came, he shed his blood, not for his sin, but for the remission of our sin. We need to be telling folks that his blood is priceless. His blood is what sustains us. His blood is what keeps us. His blood is what has paid the price for us. Verse 21 says, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. We need to be telling people about Jesus. You know, and I just have a question to leave with you this morning, which is, what are you going to do with this priceless gift that you have received? What are you going to not just accept it, but are you going to take it forth and share this priceless gift with somebody else? You know, we often evaluate worth by earthly standards. But God valued our soul more than all the silver and gold in the world. And this scripture helps us to understand that he loved us so deeply that he was willing to give the best that he had, so that we can have the best in our life. Have you been washed with the blood of Jesus? Have you been washed with the blood of Jesus? We have to let him come in and wash us because it's his blood. That's the only thing that cleanses us from our sins. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just thank you this morning for the precious blood of Jesus. We ask that you help us to live in awe of your grace. Help us never to forget the price that was paid for us. Help us, Lord, to walk so that we can walk closer to you. To love because you loved us first. God, to help to show others what the priceless price that was paid with that shed blood. God, we just ask that you continue to keep your hand upon us. Continue to help us to recognize you for who you are and what you have done. And Lord, we give you all the praise and all the glory. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Sister Lincoln, for that beautiful message to remind us of the price that was paid for us. A debt that we could not pay. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ paid for us. And I'm thankful for that this morning. Amen. Thankful to see all of you here this morning. Just blessed each time I walk into these four walls to be able to fellowship and worship and sit under the word of God with my brothers and sisters in Christ. If you have not had an opportunity to give, please do so. And also want to remind everyone again about the commentary study of John that is available for $25. So please support the ministry and your study in the word by purchasing this commentary. Amen. And then final announcement is to remind you that our Bible class will start on Wednesday, June 25th. We will be going through 1st and 2nd Timothy. So hopefully we'll see you there. If you'll stand with me, I'll say a quick prayer and dismiss us. Lord, we just thank you so much for this day you've given us, for this week. We ask that you go before us. Thank you in advance for your covering, your protection, and your provision, Lord. Thank you for keeping our hearts and minds sensitive to the leading and guiding of the Holy Spirit. We love you and ask that you protect us throughout this week and help us to make it back here again safely. In Jesus' name, we all pray. Amen. You are dismissed.